This is Under the Ring with Michael Obrensky. Pro wrestling talk for the pro wrestling fan.
Whether you like it or don't like it, sit down and look at it because it's the best going today. Woo!
What you gonna do when the largest arms in the world in Hulkamania destroys you?
If you're some man!
This is Michael Obrensky, and this is Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Talk for the pro wrestling fan. This is our first show Under the Ring, and we're going to talk everything pro wrestling. We're going to talk all the way from WWE to TNA, Ring of Honor, some New Japan, Lucha Underground, some things you may not have heard of if you're a more casual fan, but for the hardcore fans, this is going to be your show. So I thought, what better way to start off the show than to introduce myself a little bit about my background as far as pro wrestling goes, my credentials, so to speak. I probably first got into pro wrestling. I remember the first thing that I ever saw on TV, I was flipping through the TV, and of course I got on to Raw, and the first thing that I can remember seeing is it was Kane back when he had the mask, 2001, 2002, I want to say, going against Stone Cold Steve Austin on a random Raw. I can't tell you anything about the storyline, but I remember watching that, and something about that instantly hooked me, and here we are in 2014, all these years later, and still a pro wrestling fan. I love pro wrestling. I'm going to try to think how to word it, for me, a lot of pro wrestling fans get a bad rap, even now, being 21 years old and telling people, yeah, you know, I'm into pro wrestling. I watch, you know, sweaty men or sweaty humans in tights, you know, fight each other, and, you know, the story and all the drama that goes on with it. And, you know, people think, you know, they always throw out the F word, that four-letter F word. And no, it's not the one you're thinking of. It's F-A-K-E. And they say that as if we don't understand that, if no professional wrestling fan in the world doesn't know that, you know, not everything that happens is the way that it seems. But once you get past that, to me, it's just as if I was watching Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones or soap opera. That's what pro wrestling at least gets compared to, a lot of bad soap opera. But it's what I love. It's what I've loved ever since I started watching it back then. And then with the internet and everything, I started to, you know, expand. You know, everyone, when you say pro wrestling, what do you think? If you think of Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold, Sting, The Undertaker, we can keep going on and on. But there's so much just underground pro wrestling. There's the local pro wrestling in the gyms where all these guys get their start. And thank God for the internet that the pro wrestling fan base, no one's an outcast anymore. A lot of times, the one story I can definitely think of was when I met in high school, when I met my best friend, Anthony, and we were sitting in our homeroom in our division, and I think I was wearing a bear sweater at the time, and it's like the second or third day of high school, and he turns to me and says, oh, he notices the bear sweater, and it's like, oh, you like he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, by the way, which is key to the story, and he turns to me with and he's like, oh, you know, Chicago Bears, they had a good or bad game or whatever, trying to make small talk. Is later I find out he knows nothing about football at all. And he goes, yeah, you know, I didn't watch the game. I guess it had to be a Monday night, because he goes, you know, I didn't watch the game. I was watching pro wrestling. And then, you know, both of our eyes, at least my eyes, got wide. And I was like, yeah, I watch pro wrestling too. His eyes got wide. It was love at first sight, really. It's a very romantic story. And we were instantly friends. You never, it's not like you meet someone in pro wrestling and, you know, you click instantly, because it's not many people. It's a subculture is, I think, the easiest way to refer to. When I tell people about, I use the punk rock comparison, it's outcasts, and it's liking this thing that either people have grown out of for whatever reason, that they want to be an adult and, you know, whatever, but they don't, for some reason, it leaves them, but the core of us that have stayed few are so passionate and so knowledgeable and want to know everything about the show, the product, the characters, the human beings behind those characters. Pro wrestling fans get a bad rap sometimes. Sometimes I've definitely know some pro wrestling fans who go a little bit, you know, too far with, you know, being a fanboy or fangirl or whatever, but pro wrestling fans are the most passionate fans in any subculture that there is, whether it's you know, comic books, music, books, or whatever, anything that any subculture. Pro wrestling fans are the most passionate fans. I've been around them for a long time, and I definitely know that to be true. I remember the first time I went to a Raw was... Well, then maybe the second time I went to Raw was with my friend, and we were in high school then, so of course we had no money. Not that we have any money now, but we were in the Allstate Arena in the nosebleeds. Like, we're talking, you know, you can barely see the Titantron and nosebleed section. And we're there, and it was like being in heaven. It was being around your own people. It was being around your own kind. Everyone's wearing, it looks like a metal concert. Everyone's wearing a black shirt, probably wearing jeans. Everyone is shouting customarily. Everyone does the chants before the show even starts, the wooing, the Austin 316, or what have you. And I guess now it would be the yes chant, which we will get into later. But... It was amazing. It was like being in heaven. It was amazing. My favorite show definitely has to be Bound for Glory, where the main event, I can't remember what year, I think it was 2008, Sting versus Samoa Joe. It was at the Sears Center. That was probably one of my favorite shows. Ring of Honor, the first time I went to Ring of Honor was so much fun. We snuck up to the front row where you can bang on the, I guess it would be like metal sheets, I guess, that you always see in the Ring of Honor promos. Ring of Honor, so underrated. We'll get into all that a little bit later. But that was just a little bit about me and my background in pro wrestling. I guess another obvious question is, who's my favorite wrestler? Probably Kane, for obvious reasons. When I was a kid, it's something about the mask, the red and black, the dark, like gothic, old school Kane. I'm not much of a fan of corporate Kane. But that was all for him coming back with the mask. Every time he leaves and doesn't have the mask on, that's, you know, that's always what I want. But Kane, probably my favorite of all time. My favorite company, I'll probably cop out and say WWE. But there are so many alternatives, that, I did the math. I'm not a huge math guy, but I broke it down and I watch 10 hours of professional wrestling a week, which is way too much for any one man to do, but I do it and I do it for you. So we're going to switch. That was a little bit about myself. We're going to start. The first thing I thought that we should talk about is the Royal Rumble. And before I go on, discussing Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, The Rock, the crowd, I found a clip that I think best and compensates what every hardcore fan thought about the Royal Rumble.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
The Royal Rumble, if you don't know, is the second most important pay-per-view as far as WWE goes for the year. WrestleMania, of course, is the Super Bowl being number one. Survivor Series has pretty much turned into just another pay-per-view. We don't even get, I think this year we did get a Survivor Series elimination style match, but in the past years we haven't. And you can say SummerSlam is hit and miss for me, at least. And the last couple SummerSlams have been okay. But for the most part, it's Royal Rumble, the road to WrestleMania, or the fast lane to WrestleMania, which is very smart by WWE to do, by the way, to name a pay-per-view in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania fast lane. But Royal Rumble, I think that's everyone's favorite for the most part. I mean, WrestleMania, of course, but Royal Rumble, you get to see all your favorite superstars, matches that you wouldn't normally see. It's like the first Avengers movie. You get to see Iron Man versus Thor. You get to see a little bit of everything. And you always wait for the Royal Rumble match. That's what you wait for all year round. And this year, the controversy wasn't Roman Reigns winning. I want to state that clear, that I don't have a problem with Roman Reigns winning the Rumble. I like Roman Reigns. I was a big fan of The Shield, although I thought they broke up too soon. But I've liked what all three where all three characters have gone. But Roman Reigns winning the Rumble wasn't the problem. Daniel Bryan losing the Rumble wasn't the problem. The problem with the Rumble was how everything was, how the puzzle pieces fell, or the chess pieces fell. Daniel Bryan enters early, which is fine, and then he gets eliminated, but he gets eliminated nonchalantly. And I just don't understand how, especially with the crowd dynamic, where the event was. You knew the crowd. First, it's okay if you don't want to give the crowd everything. I understand that you don't. Sometimes you can't give the crowd everything they want. Heath Slater isn't going to be, no matter how much we want it, Heath Slater is not going to fight Brock Lesnar in the main event of WrestleMania. But Daniel Bryan, to me, is the number one guy. And that's not saying that John Cena isn't. I guess it's 1 and 1A, really. John Cena, the hardcore fans, it's not that the hardcore fans dislike him. That's a misconception, at least in my opinion. The hardcore fans dislike John Cena's character, but respect John Cena. He does a lot of great stuff for Make-A-Wish. He's just like when he was talking about with his feud with The Rock. He's always there every Monday. Even this past Monday, he had a black eye. I think that's why he didn't wrestle. And John Cena's there every week. So I commend him for that. It's just that his character is stale for people who watch the product all the time, which I think even WWE can understand. Casual fans, on the other hand, is different. John Cena might not be stale to them because they don't watch 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown every week, and that's not to mention when a pay-per-view is on. Daniel Bryan is the first megastar to come out in the social media-centric world, which WWE does a great job of. Every Monday, every Thursday, SmackDown is on, even with NXT, and especially pay-per-views. I don't even need to mention pay-per-views. They're always trending. WWE, Raw, SmackDown, or the name of the pay-per-view, always trending. WWE does a masterful job of that. If you're taking a PR class, just watch a Monday Night Raw for 3 hours and refresh your Twitter, and you don't need to pay $40,000 for a PR diploma. But they do such a masterful job with that, and Daniel Bryan broke out. And everyone knows who Daniel Bryan is. Everyone knows the Yes chant. When the Yes movement was going on last year before WrestleMania, everyone was doing it. I remember seeing someone on the train with a Daniel Bryan Yes shirt, and we talked instantly on the train based on nothing on that. Daniel Bryan crossed over to the mainstream, which WWE has a problem doing that because their product is so subculture. It's kind of like with the UFC. The UFC doesn't really... They have great athletes, and they have great fights, but they don't have anyone really to go into the mainstream. No one's going to go on Jimmy Kimmel or David Letterman or Conan or something like that. ESPN doesn't really cover UFC. They'll do a little five-minute thing after the event ends, but UFC also doesn't want to give the highlights to ESPN because they want people to buy the replay, which WWE countered with the network, which we can get into in another time. But Daniel Bryan is the first social media star to get out there. And he got injured. Obviously, no one could have predicted that. It was a horrible, horrible thing. But Daniel Bryan, at the end of WrestleMania last year, was the guy. He beat Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista in the same night. Not since Chris Jericho has such a feat been accomplished. And became the... At the time, was it the Undisputed title? Or now it's the WWE World Heavyweight title. But... It's Daniel Bryan is the first social media star. So to me, it didn't make any sense to him not at least be in the final four or the final two. You have to give WWE fans hope, which is what they did on Raw. But at the time, you knew that that crowd wanted Daniel Bryan. So you have to give him that hope. You have to give him the hook, just like any great show did. Breaking Bad, you had that hook. You didn't know what was going to happen, so you had to watch every week. And that's what so many of these wrestlers and reporters talk about with the Attitude Era, oh, the famed Attitude Era, that you had to watch every week because you had no idea what was going to happen next. But with the internet and the, quote, reality era, everything has changed because I can go online and know things that I didn't know in the 90s. I didn't know during the Attitude Era. And Daniel Bryan, at least definitely for the hardcore fans, but he even transitioned to the casual fans, which you don't see. Sometimes you had guys that the hardcore fans, you know, are behind that will never become world champion, or at least not with the character that they currently have. Heath Slater, for example. But Daniel Bryan crossed over for that. So I think he at least should have been in the Final Four. The Final Four for the Royal Rumble were Roman Reigns, Big Show, Kane, and hiding under the ring was Rusev. But Big Show and Kane, I understand it. They're in the authority. I was almost going to say corporation. They're in the authority. So I understand you want to have that. But why not have Luke Harper replace Big Show or Kane? So at least it kind of, you have a new face in there. It kind of makes sense. I'm a huge Kane fan, but I would take Kane out of the Final Four, put Luke Harper in there. Big Show, I guess you got to keep in there. It makes sense. Him and Roman Reigns have been feuding, you know, on and off. So you put him in there. You can have Rusev doing his under the ring thing, but not under the ring, but on the other side. And I understand that the fans in the arena are going to know, but, and that crowd was special. I'll give you that. Great crowd, by the way. But if you're going to keep doing the, oh, I can't believe he didn't, wasn't eliminated, and you're in the reality era, you got to do a better way than that. You can even do it off camera so the fans at home at least don't know. But everyone watching knew that Rusev was there. And once you were down to Roman Reigns and Rusev, you had Roman Reigns, the crowd, he was the crowd favorite, not in there, but the fan favorite against the anti-American Bulgarian United States champion with a manager who says, shut up, to the audience before every promo. I mean, who do you think is going to win the match? At that point, it was, well, the Final Four, it was unanimous. Roman was going to win. But you can't have the last two be the anti-American character versus, you know, red, white, and blue Roman Reigns. That doesn't, it's not compelling TV is really what it comes down to. I look at WWE, if I'm writing a story, I look at WWE just as that. It's a huge comic book, and you can't, no one wants to know the outcome of the movie before the end of the movie. And we knew as soon as Daniel Bryan got eliminated, we knew. And what was that? That was early in the Rumble. So that was probably 30 minutes left, probably even more, 45 maybe. And Daniel Bryan gets eliminated nonchalantly. And then The Rock comes out. I love The Rock. Everyone loves The Rock. He's in the intro to the show. But the crowd booed The Rock. No one boos The Rock. You can't boo The Rock. And they booed The Rock, and it was amazing to see, because I didn't live through the Die Rocky Die chants. I was alive, but I didn't watch it then. And can you just imagine, just sit back and think about it. They booed The Rock. No one boos The Rock. And they just brought The Rock out there, in my opinion, because they knew that Roman was going to get booed out of the building. Or at least they probably thought there was going to be some boos, but they probably didn't think it was going to be that bad. But you bring The Rock out there to save the day, which is fine. I'm okay. The cousin thing, they were going to eventually do that. I understand it. The passing of the torch and the whole deal. I'm all for it. But it felt flat. And then The Rock pointing, holding Roman's hand up and then pointing to him and the quizzical look on The Rock's face, priceless. Someone needs to make that a GIF if it isn't already, because that was fun. The crowd went dead after Bryan's elimination. You just hear the crowd. They were hyped. They had hope, which is they had WWE had the fans. They had the fish on the line. And then as soon as Daniel Bryan gets his 2 feet touch the floor, the entire crowd, you can just hear go, oh. They were deflated. The crowd was absolutely dead. And they would have stayed dead if they didn't get more angry as it went on. And I felt so bad. It was just like when Batista entered last year, Rey Mysterio came in at number 30. And everyone ran to Daniel Bryan, and it's probably the only time, like I just said, you can't boo The Rock. When have you ever heard anybody boo poor Rey Mysterio? And then they booed poor Goldust. Goldust is amazing. You don't boo Goldust, and the crowd did. I felt so bad for Goldust. But and then you had The Rock and Roman. Rock, I've never seen The Rock more flustered than on the network. The post-interview with Roman Reigns, obviously they were telling people to be quiet. It was a little bit rushed, and I understand that. The network is still new for all intents and purposes. So there's going to be hiccups, but you could hear the wrestlers in the background, which is fine. And then The Rock, he stumbled in his words, and he started making fun of, I think it was Tom Phillips was the interviewer, and like he was making fun of Tom Phillips, but trying to remember what he was trying to say because he was so flustered. And I've never seen The Rock so flustered. Not to mention, going back to Daniel Bryan, WWE, pro wrestling, it's a big story. You hear storylines a lot for people who aren't hardcore fans. Storyline. Guy versus guy, but why? Or woman versus woman, why? That's the story. That's the hook. And Daniel Bryan had a ready-made story. And I think they've talked about this on the Raw that was held at the headquarters during the Blizzard. I think Daniel Bryan talked about this in his interview, that he had a ready-made story. He was champion, never got his rematch, and his, you know, his father passed away, and he had to get surgery on his neck, and his arm was hurting. And then he comes back, and what better than to have him win the Royal Rumble? It's the best, it's a ready-made story. You don't even have to write it. It writes itself, and it's such a great story. It'd be the, WWE loves doing underdog stories. How many times have we seen Rey Mysterio versus Big Guy X and it being called an underdog? How many times have we seen John Cena being called an underdog? He was called an underdog in the amazing triple threat match, which we're going to talk about earlier on in the Royal Rumble. And just like CM Punk said, see, I don't know, I want to know the bet number on how many times I was going to say CM Punk. But CM Punk even said it. He's the New York Yankees of professional wrestling. He's a 15-time world champion. That's like calling Ric Flair an underdog in his prime. He wasn't. He was, at that point, a 10-time or whatever champion. But Daniel Bryan is the true underdog. He came back, and how amazing would it have been to see Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? I think those guys could put on an amazing match. Not saying that Roman can. I like Roman Reigns. Like, I'm going to reiterate that Roman Reigns winning the Rumble wasn't the problem. The Final Four was the problem, how Daniel Bryan got out. There were also so, and everyone knew Roman was going to win. I can remember going into the deep, seedy underbelly of the pro wrestling forums, the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, and the week before, everyone was getting ready that they knew that Roman was going to win and what it was going to be. I don't, as a fan and as someone who follows professional wrestling, I don't want the Royal Rumble to just, the week after the Royal Rumble, be complaining about the Rumble week, which is what it's been for two years. The Royal Rumble has lost what made it so great. You never really knew who was going to win. You had about, there's always like 5, 6, sometimes even 10 or 15 people you thought could legitimately win. And this year, well, let's count it. Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose. That's five right there that could have won the Royal Rumble. But as soon as Daniel Bryan got eliminated, boom, down to one, and your hook is gone. I also, before the Rumble, I'm watching the network getting ready. The network is still a little bit buggy, but I'm okay with that. I pay my $9.99 a month. I don't, you know, work retail for nothing. And I'm watching it, and they spoil The Rock's return right before the Rumble starts. They point to his Instagram or Twitter feed, whatever it was at the time, and they say, oh man, why are The Rock's in town? What's he gonna do? I don't know. What do you think The Rock's gonna do? Show up at the Royal Rumble? So I wasn't happy about that. I've heard that they're texting or their email blasts also kind of do the same thing. I didn't like in the Royal Rumble, there was no, everyone just kind of got eliminated for no reason, really. Kofi's spot was okay. It was kind of what we all thought it was gonna be with Adam Rose. I wanted Sandow and The Miz to split up at the Royal Rumble, or at least have Sandow. We didn't even really get anything. We got a little bit of it, but the hilarity that could have ensued if Miz is eliminated, Sandow is the next entrant, eliminates himself, or he finally turns the crowd in Philly would have went crazy if Mizdow would have eliminated him. And instead, on Raw this week, we got a backstage segment, and Mizdow got fired and became a personal assistant. It's not... The crowd is such behind Sandow, I don't understand. Hopefully a WrestleMania match comes out of it is what it looks like, because nothing has been announced Fastlane, at least for them. So hopefully, you know, that's what it comes down to. And I want to reiterate again, I'm going to speak on behalf of all the hardcore wrestling fans. We don't hate Roman Reigns. No one hates Roman Reigns. Roman, if you're listening, we love you. You just weren't supposed to win the Royal Rumble, at least not that way. You could have won, but the last two could have been Daniel Bryan. I mean, nothing's wrong with Daniel Bryan. And just on a quick side, TNA, this doesn't mean that you have to go ahead and like you did last year when you made Eric Young your champion right after Daniel Bryan wasn't. You don't have to make Rockstar Spud the world champion either. Please. But we're going to get into TNA. We're going to talk about Raw. We also have on our Facebook, WCRX, at facebook.com/WCRX. It's going to be our GIF of the week. We're going to get that on there right now. And one of my favorite professional wrestling gifts of all time. I'll just tell you, it's Ric Flair, and he's not fully clothed. So that should definitely get, that should be clickbait, shouldn't it be? Head over to facebook.com/WCRXFM to check that out. We're also going to get going a chat room. So if you guys want to ask questions or have comments about anything that I'm talking about, head over to facebook.com/WCRXFM. And coming up, we're going to be talking about Raw, the Austin Triple H podcast as well. We're going to get into TNA. We're going to get into a lot of fun stuff. It's going to be all coming up. This is Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Talk for the pro wrestling fan. We just talked about the Royal Rumble, so let's start talking about Raw. The big news that came out of Raw was at the start of Raw, Triple H and Stephanie came out, and they were talking about controversy, all this controversy about who, about the Royal Rumble. And Roman Reigns comes out, says, "That's my spot. How could you take it away?" Daniel Bryan comes out, to the delight of the fans. You have Seth Rollins come out, all three guys talk about how they deserve a spot in at the main event at WrestleMania. Although, if we're talking about strictly in kayfabe, why does Seth Rollins really want to be, you know, in the main event? He's got the money in the bank. He can kind of, you know, do his own thing. But it comes out that it's at the end of the main event of Raw is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins, and the winner goes on to face Roman Reigns at Fastlane. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, why would you ever, once you win the Royal Rumble, why would you ever put that title shot on the line? And I agree with you, but the reaction to the Royal Rumble, I think, warrants doing this. So I think it all kind of makes sense. I'm going to tell you why. We talked a little bit before the break about hope and how you have to watch. There needs to be a hook. And hope is that hook, at least for this particular story that they're doing. And Daniel Bryan, more or less, is the hope. So Daniel Bryan wins against Seth Rollins and goes on. It will go on to Fastlane and go up against Roman Reigns. And the winner will, of course, go to WrestleMania. Now, once we get closer to Fastlane, we'll talk about who I think is going to win. And we'll book, I guess would be the right word, the pay-per-view when we get closer. But I think that's going to be a great match. Some of the reaction between Roman and Bryan in the backstage segments was kind of awkward. You can kind of see that, but I just think it's because they haven't worked together yet. Any actor, you know, knows you have to get comfortable with who you're doing. And I think in the weeks coming up, they will get more comfortable. I think that match is going to be great. Roman, the big, strong guy, not as athletic as Daniel Bryan, but I think Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns are going to put on a great match. And WWE is so smart because they had the Royal Rumble. They got all this social media attention. The Bleacher Report, ESPN was talking about it. You know, normally no one really talks about pro wrestling, but when, you know, the top three trends in the world are Royal Rumble, We Riot, or cancel the WWE Network, people are going to notice. So we have that match, and that's what it is. It's just hope, and it's that simple. It's a great story. Because what if Daniel Bryan does win at Fastlane and does go on to WrestleMania? What if it's a draw? What if we get a triple threat match? Then you're stretching out the hope. Then you gotta watch WrestleMania, even if, you know, you say you're gonna boycott because Roman Reigns is gonna fight Brock Lesnar. Even though I know you're lying, it's okay. I'm gonna let you continue saying that. It's fine. You can try to be cool on the internet. I won't judge you. But if Daniel Bryan, if somehow it's a triple threat match, what if it's a fatal four-way with adding Seth Rollins in? Can you imagine that match? And before we take a quick tangent, we didn't really talk about when we were talking about the Royal Rumble, the great, phenomenal, that was 25 cents for AJ Styles, the phenomenal triple threat match for the title, the WWE title, with Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena. It made me so giddy and happy. The little wrestling fan inside me had a twinkle in his eye when Seth Rollins he had nothing to do. He threw everything at Brock Lesnar, threw everything at John Cena, couldn't win the match, and then comes out of nowhere with a Phoenix Splash, as it is called, Michael Cole. And I love the whole dynamic of I've done everything to try to win this match, and then I pull out something that I haven't done in a while, or in Seth Rollins' case, I don't think he's ever done that as far as WWE goes. But going back to Raw, what if it's a fatal four-way at WrestleMania? There's so many things and so many intricate stuff that could happen, and I'm so excited for Fastlane, so excited for WrestleMania. But let's get all the stuff that we were talking about on Raw. Goldust and Stardust, there's going to be some tension. I think it's the first time that they've alluded, at least for fans who aren't in the know, that Stardust is Cody Rhodes. And it's the first time I think that Goldust has actually said, no, hey, Cody. And there looks like they're going with that storyline, so I'm pretty excited about that. I would have kind of, they've been teasing it for the last couple weeks, but I kind of would have rather see it happen. in the Royal Rumble match itself, but I'm all for doing it on Raw. Of course, I mean, it all makes sense if Cody Rhodes goes over, and it doesn't make any sense, as I think most people would agree, if Goldust wins the match at WrestleMania. It wouldn't really make any sense. Yet Ziggler and Bray Wyatt, Goldust should be in the Hall of Fame. I want to throw that in there. Not this year, obviously. Maybe next year. They're going to do a lot of stuff to try to get as many people in Cowboy Stadium, I can't remember the actual name, in Cowboy Stadium down in Texas as possible to break the indoor attendance record. Dolph Ziggler, Bray Wyatt had a great match on Raw. It's 3 hours of television. It's hard to do, as Triple H stated in his in the podcast, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But normally you don't really get you normally get one solid kind of lengthy match on Raw, but this match was a great match, and they're keeping I guess to use sound cool and use some lingo, they're keeping Bray Wyatt strong for the impending Undertaker match that may or may not happen at WrestleMania. I don't really want to talk about the streak. I don't want to get in the prayer. You don't want to get into the ending of the streak. You only watch that after. You got to be really depressed to just watch the streak over and over again, which is on my dark days is something I've done. But will the Undertaker? I want to see the Undertaker. I love the Undertaker. Of course, I want to see him wrestle one more match. That's if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, then you know he goes out. Give him 30 minutes on WrestleMania. Let him go out there. Let him. Let him say goodbye. Let him do a speech. We all know he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. They might be saving that for WrestleMania in Texas. Of course, everyone wants Sting versus Undertaker. I've wanted that for the longest time too. But Sting has, you know, stood his ground and stayed in other promotions as long as he has. Sting versus Undertaker. We all know it's not going to be as good as it might have been a couple years ago, but who knows? I mean, Sting hasn't wrestled in a while. Undertaker hasn't wrestled since losing the streak. It's not going to happen this year. I think that's pretty clear. But for WrestleMania in Texas next year, I could see it happening. But Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt, I think if you have that match, now that the streak is over, Undertaker, now it's kind of more fun because now Bray Wyatt can go over at WrestleMania and can beat Undertaker. For so many years, we thought, was it going to be Randy Orton? Was it going to be Kane? Was it going to be CM Punk? In my opinion, I've always thought that the only person who should have beaten the streak was Kane, because it would have made sense. It was such a great, their whole ethos of Kane and Undertaker, the whole story was just so brilliantly done, I think, in my opinion, that to me, it always should have been Kane. Second and third are probably those guys I mentioned. CM Punk with the best in the world. I mean, can you imagine? It would have been worse when Chris Jericho, still to this day, is talking about when he beat The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same night to become the world champion and the WWE champion. CM Punk would still be talking about it to this day. And Randy Orton had the Legend Killer gimmick, which was amazing. But then you got Brock Lesnar, who is the beast incarnate. I love Brock Lesnar too. And it makes sense for his character. In my opinion, Brock Lesnar should not lose the title at WrestleMania this year. I'll say that right now. I've said it before. You have to look at WWE as a comic book. Undertaker is Superman. Everyone wants to say, you know, John Cena is Superman, but Undertaker's streak, if it was going to be defeated, would have meant, like it does because it has already happened, does mean more than any title will ever mean, because it's been 20 plus years and the streak, no one thought it was going to end. I'm still in denial. But Brock Lesnar did it. He beat Superman. He conquered, as Paul Heyman would say, he conquered the unconquerable. He was the one in the 21 and won. So, in my opinion, Brock Lesnar should hold the title, if nothing else, longer than, what did CM Punk? He had it over a year. CM Punk had 100 and whatever days that it was. Definitely hold it longer than CM Punk did. Because he's the beast incarnate. He's Brock Lesnar. He beat the unbeatable. He conquered the unconquerable. So it makes sense that he should be strong and be the champion. I love how he destroyed John Cena at SummerSlam. I thought it made sense. His, like I said, last match with Seth Rollins and John Cena at the Rumble was amazing. Blew everything else out the water. But it just, when the streak ended, Brock Lesnar, I think, should be champion for, I think, definitely at least you know, he should beat at least CM Punk's reign. And, you know, we're hearing rumbles online and on everything that what's going to happen with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns at Fastlane. And we've you know, been hearing rumblings that Dolph Ziggler is supposed to be going one-on-one with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, which would be a clinic. It would be Macho Man going against the Dragon all over again. It'd be a great match. I'd love to see that be an Iron Man match, but I mean, at WrestleMania, I understand that wouldn't happen. Or 2 out of 3 falls match would be great. But I don't want to get a little bit ahead of myself, but is this, even on Triple H's podcast, he said that it's so hard for someone to be a babyface, a good guy in pro wrestling these days, because everyone kind of knows, you know, oh, you know, Rusev really doesn't hate America. We all know that. But is this the opportunity? Is this the time? No, not time to turn John Cena heel, but is this the time to make Dolph Ziggler a heel and cost Bryan the match at Fastlane and cost him his shot at Daniel Bryan? Because a heel Dolph Ziggler, I think he should have been catapulted after Survivor Series into the main event. But heel Dolph Ziggler costing Daniel Bryan the amount of heat that he would get. And the thing about wrestling, the hardcore and passionate wrestling fans, is we would hate it that he cost Daniel Bryan it. But man, would we love that Dolph Ziggler that Dolph Ziggler went heel and stamped his spot in the promos, I think. Because Dolph Ziggler hasn't had a lot of promo time. But, oh man, just a heel Dolph Ziggler going after Daniel Bryan would just be so much fun. So much fun to see. And obviously I'm talking about it, so that's what I would do. But that's where I think this, I think they've done this the right way, whether this was the plan or not. We know that WWE's changed plans before, but they're masterful at what they do. This is the word of the day, is hope. They're giving fans hope. They're giving me hope. Even talking about it, I don't believe Daniel Bryan's going to beat Roman Reigns and go to WrestleMania, but he could. And that's what sells. That's the hook. That's what's going to make you pay $9.99 or $60 if you have no idea how to use an Ethernet cable. That's the hook. And WWE are masters at that. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H podcast. We're going to get into TNA, and we're going to get into this day in pro wrestling history. We're also going to talk about a former WWE employee who may have quit his job in the coolest way that anyone's ever quit his job, and we're going to have that coming up. Taking a look at your WCRX weather forecast, 16 right now, partly cloudy, no snow overnight, which is a big relief. The low is going to be 2 tonight. Tomorrow morning, highs around 19. The high of the day is going to be about 22. 88.1 WC. Back on Under the Ring, and after Raw went off the air, we had the Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H podcast, which is more of what I would love to see on the network. I'm a fan of the network. I know a lot of some wrestling fans aren't, you know, that high on the network, but I love the network. I love being able. It's like Netflix for wrestling fans, and what hardcore wrestling fan wouldn't want that? And we can talk about get in depth on the network another day, but it's so easy to illegally get a stream, especially with kids growing up now with the internet, that, I mean, it's not that hard to illegally find a stream. And I think WWE's smart enough to realize that. So instead of paying $60 for a pay-per-view, pay $9.99 and you get the network. That's just me. I mean, I like the network, but I understand that some fans aren't as big of fans for the network. But you get NXT, which, I mean, NXT alone is worth the $9.99. And I know it's on Hulu Plus, but there you go. Triple H was a guest on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. I love the first one with Vince. I love anything backstage related for pro wrestling in general. I think that's what a lot of like pro wrestling fans get a bad rap, just because we like to know everything, because it's such a guarded thing that it is, that when we get to see these backstage stuff, like the WrestleMania 24 documentary, it blows our minds. So Triple H was talking about NXT and how it was so great. I'm about the next live special happening February 11th. It's the first thing I'm going to do is when I get home, watch some NXT. But I'm excited about NXT. I love NXT. I love that for years it was OVW was their developmental system, and it was either hard to get or it wasn't on TV or on the internet. But still back trading tape days kind of days, VHS tapes. But I love NXT, Sami Zayn versus Adrian Neville at The last NXT special, Our Revolution, was amazing. Match of the year candidate. Loved it. Kevin Owens finally making his debut. Finn Balor with one of the best entrances I've ever seen. And we all knew it was coming, and it still blew our minds. So that definitely tells you something there. Enzo, I love some of the... I'm still kind of getting new into NXT, so I haven't read up on everyone yet. But I love it. I love the commentary. I love the whole look of it. And I love Triple H's direction. I also love that, was it R squared, Circle sent a fruit basket to Triple H after Our Revolution. It's going to be very interesting to see Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn now for the NXT title. I'm giddy talking about it right now. Triple H and Stone Cold also talked about that kayfabe is dead. Now, if you're a casual fan or a hardcore fan, you don't know what kayfabe is. Kayfabe is kind of like more or less not breaking character. So if you're in kayfabe, it's, you know, I hate you, you hate me, or let's fight over a title. So breaking kayfabe would be out of character. So they remarked about that. And I don't know if kayfabe is dead. They brought up the idea of it being that kayfabe is dead because of the reality era, and we know so much, which I think is a detriment, because every year when the Royal Rumble comes around, I do shut off. I don't visit any the insider sites and everything. I love being surprised. I was caught off guard by DDP returning at the Rumble. Bubba Ray, I kind of thought about, because I'm a TNA fan, so he wasn't there for a while. Kind of put two and two together. Still loved it, though. I loved that the crowd was chanting for D-Von and R-Truth was there. Thought that was all hilarious. But it's kayfabe. I love kayfabe. You can stay in character, but you don't have to do the same storylines. For example, I'm going to use Rusev as an example. I like Rusev, but his anti-American character, it's kind of played out. It worked at times, I guess, in the 80s. Hulk Hogan and everything, Iron Sheik, and when Sergeant Slaughter went heel, all makes sense. But I think now at this point, it's kind of like, it's kind of iffy. I'd rather see Rusev do something else. But I could see that being an idea. But then you had Daniel Bryan on the other side, whose character, I don't know, does he really have a character? He's kind of just Daniel Bryan, and it's been so successful. And that's what they always say, guys like Stone Cold and The Rock or Mick Foley, they let Vince let them be themselves, and they've done such a great job. And I think Daniel Bryan is right up there. Triple H also said that the beauty about WWE is that Vince McMahon is the one calling the shots. It's unlike any like other sports or any entertainment company that's out there, because it's one man running the show. He makes the decisions. It stops at him. There can be 15 or 20 people writing the show, but it's just him making that final decision. And I think that's such an interesting thing. Sometimes they hit, and sometimes they miss, but it's just one man making the decision, which you don't normally see that much. They've also talked, Triple H, also Stone Cold asked him, what would you change if you could? And all great, more women wrestling, which is a plus. TNA, we're going to talk about TNA coming up. TNA has done such a great job for a long time of highlighting their women wrestlers, which WWE really hasn't done that much. He also said that they want to make Raw, bring it down to bring it down to 2 hours, because writing that third hour of television is so hard. And let me tell you, watching 3 hours of Raw, it's like sitting down and watching a pay-per-view or a movie. It's tough sitting down. Your back starts to hurt. You got to start exercising or something. For 3 hours sitting there and watching a television show is tough. It's hard to do every Monday. And I love pro wrestling. I'm addicted to it. But 3 hours is tough. That's why I like SmackDown. I love NXT. I also love TNA. So we're going to switch before the break. Talked about former pro wrestler quitting his job in the best way possible. We're going to talk about Justin Gabriel, who hasn't been in a relevant storyline, you know, for a long time. But from what I've seen on Total Divas, you know, he was kind of important for one episode. So Justin Gabriel left the WWE, the Raw, before the Rumble. And according to reports, Gabriel showed up to Raw, was told there was nothing for him. And this is where the story gets good. Apparently, he either went sightseeing or skydiving when he was told that there was nothing for him. So for the sake of the story, I'm going to go and assume that he went skydiving. So Gabriel then leaves the arena, books a flight home, and between flights gets a call saying that WWE has something for him. And then Gabriel told WWE that he was leaving. So this story went around from being around the tracks of Awesome Town to barreling straight towards Awesome Town when Gabriel went skydiving. You know, I think we've all had those moments, you know, whether it's after breakup or, you know, you're thinking really hard about a big decision in your life, so you need some time for yourself. So maybe, you know, you go to the lake or you go to a friend's house to talk about it, or you talk to a family member, but never would skydiving cross my mind. So to Justin Gabriel, I wish you all the best. I'm not going to sit here and say that Gabriel was my favorite, but he has held a Cruiserweight title for more than 100 days in my WWE 2K universe. And to me, that counts for something. And I also don't want to be that guy, but I think Gabriel would be great in TNA. The X Division needs something to get back on track, and you can't have Low-Key versus Austin Aries over and over again, with great matches, but can't do it over and over again. Gabriel in an Ultimate X match would be something really interesting to watch. And we didn't get it. We're running out of time here. We haven't had much time to talk about TNA, but I'm a huge TNA fan, huge TNA viewer. So we'll get into that on next week's episode. We're also going to have an interview in next week's episode. I don't want to spoil who it is, but it's going to be very, very interesting. Might even be a little bit controversial. So maybe Triple H will work on a match and have something to do with us. But I want to thank you for listening, and it's going to be really fun. Not many shows that are like this, where pro wrestling fans get to comment and talk about pro wrestling in general. We're going to have phone lines, the chat room, everything, and coming episodes of the show, and we're going to have fun, if nothing. You will never hear a person more happy to talk about humans in tights, sweating, and hitting each other. It's what I love to talk about, and it's what I love to watch. And that sounded really weird coming out, but that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Thanks for listening. This has been Under the Ring, WCRX 88.1 FM.